Thanks to Grammarly for supporting the Productivity Show. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. Start writing confidently by going to grammarly.com/TPS to get 20% off a Grammarly premium account today. This episode is also supported by Blinkist, giving you key ideas from best-selling nonfiction distilled by experts into bite-sized text and audio. Get a free 7-day trial at blinkist.com/TPS. Welcome to The Productivity Show, a podcast by Asian Efficiency that helps you maximize your productivity so you can get the important things done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. We've helped tens of thousands of people save time, be happier, and become more productive. Now, this is episode 2 of our 3-part series on our top 10 favorite apps and tools. In today's episode, we're going to do the monumentally difficult task and narrow down our 10 favorite mobile apps for iOS and Android that we use, love, and that make us more productive. This is super hard because there's so many apps that we love, but I think we have something for everyone. We also give honorable mention to favorites submitted by the Asian Efficiency community. You can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/248. And now, on with the show. All right, welcome, Tan. Are you ready to get into your favorite apps?
Yeah, I have my iPhone right in front of me, so I'm going to go over these apps that I use on a daily basis and that I'm going to share with all of you here today. And there are some hidden gems here today as well. So if you've been following us for a while, you're going to find out about some of our favorite apps that you haven't heard of yet. So I'm excited to share some of that stuff today.
Yeah, we'll also be sharing some of the favorite apps and tools that are mobile apps and tools, I should say. That members of the Dojo, which is our productivity community, they shared some of their favorites. So when those aren't already on our list, we'll round those up at the end too. But to get started, we always like to start with our top 3 resources. These are quick things that you can implement or use right away. So Tan, I see you have 3 resources here you want to share with the audience.
Since this episode is all about mobile apps, I thought I would share 3 mobile apps that didn't make the list, but I think are just as awesome. So the first one is called Otter, and this is the best instant speech to text app that I've seen. So you can literally open up the app, start talking, and we'll translate everything you just said and put it into a note. And the translation is super accurate. It's instant. You can literally just sit in a meeting room, have 5 different people speaking and record it, and it will translate what they just said into text. So this is a really great app. And this is an app that I just recently discovered literally about a week or two ago. If you've been following us inside the Dojo, we talked about it in one of our live coaching calls. And it just made somebody's day that day when we mentioned it. So I want to make sure I mention it here today as well. The second one is called Ible. And this is one of my new apps when it comes to investing. So if you're looking for an app where you can get bite-sized news about companies and investing, then this is the perfect app for that. And it has like a gamification element to it as well. So you can kind of like learn about investments and what's going on in the world of stocks and really bite-sized pieces of information. And it's easy to consume. So I really like that about that app. And it has some gamifications components to that. And then the third one is my favorite productivity app when it comes to podcasting, and that is Overcast. This is my favorite podcast app when it comes to consuming podcasts. And one of the best features that I like is just the smart speed. So it can actually speed up the process based on where the silences are and just speed it up without making it sound weird. So you can listen through podcasts a lot faster. And you can also upload your own audio files in a web interface and then listen to it in your podcast app. So I usually do this when we have like client recordings and I want to listen to a call that I did with somebody and kind of take notes and listen to that again. So I really like this app. It's very versatile.
Yeah, the Otter app in that Dojo live coaching call. So every 2 months we meet with the Dojo, answer everybody's questions, cover a certain productivity topic. And I remember when you mentioned Otter, she said this, just that mention, just the 5-second mention of Otter made this entire call worthwhile. So yeah, Otter's, if you're wanting that text to speech and sending notes, Otter is a great one. So we're going to be covering other mobile apps other than Otter today. We're going to go through our top 10 mobile apps that make us more productive. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, mobile apps are great, but what about apps or applications on my computer? We actually talked about that last week. So if you haven't listened to it yet, go to theproductivityshow.com/247. And in TPS 247, we talked about our top apps for Mac and Windows. We had a great discussion with the audience, the live studio audience, about that one. But we're going to go into our mobile apps now. Now, one thing I do want to get out of the way before we get into this list is Tan and I are both iOS users. So we use iPhone, iPad. Now, members of the AE team and members of the dojo who shared their recommendations also use Android, and whenever possible, we've listed either cross-platform apps that exist on both, or if it's the apps that we personally use aren't cross-platform, we try to list another alternative. So you shouldn't be stuck with just iOS. You can, if you're an Android user, you'll be able to get a lot out of this list as well. And final reminder before we get into this list is these are apps that we use. These are apps that members of the communities use. If there's another app that does something similar that you love, for example, Tan loves Overcast for podcasts. I like personally Pocket Casts. That's totally cool. If you have an app that you like that's different, that works for you, doesn't mean necessarily that you should get rid of your app and use this other one, but it's good to know what alternatives are out there. And if you're searching for an app in a particular category, you can definitely use this list. So we'll get started with our top 10 list, and I'm going to start with number one. And so for the first app that I've chosen on the list, it's an email app. And I've gone back and forth in a million different email apps over the years. When we did an episode about email, I've mentioned in the past I've used an app called Dispatch, which is great. But I've since switched over right now to using an app called Spark. And so Spark exists on iOS and Mac. Unfortunately, there isn't a Windows or an Android version of Spark. In my experience, Android users tend to use the stock Gmail app, which works really well, or the Outlook app actually is really, really good. It's good on iOS as well, but the Outlook app on Android is really great. But for me, I use Spark. The reason why I like it is it has really seamless integration between the Mac and iOS. It's a nice UI. It has integration with OmniFocus, and so you can quickly send emails there and other to-do services as well. And yeah, I just got into it and I really like it. So Spark is my email app of choice. What do you use for email, Tan? I don't even know, on your mobile device.
Everybody that has been following Asian Efficiency for a while knows that I'm pretty old school in a lot of different ways. So I'm sticking to the default iOS mail app.
There you go. Yep, nothing wrong with staying stock as well. So I totally understand that. Want to do your number two app?
My number two app is TripIt. For those of you listening who travel a lot, this is the number one app you should have. I travel a lot. I probably go on anywhere between 20 and 35 flights a year, or trips, I should say, that can include a lot of flights. And this is the app I always refer back to whenever I'm looking for my flight details, my hotel details. And the reason I love it is that I can have all of these pieces of information in one place. So whenever my assistant Kelly is booking a trip for me, she will get, you know, flight itinerary, she will get hotel stays or Airbnb stays. She will kind of map out my whole trip and then put it in TripIt. And the great thing about it is that whenever you get a confirmation email from your hotel or from your flight, you can just forward that email to a specific email address, which is plans@tripit.com, I should say. And then from there, based on your email address, it will auto-detect which account it will go in. And so whenever she forwards or I forward an email into that email address, I then have all the details in my app and it's all nicely organized and stuff. And one of the best features I find of this app is actually the airport map. So whenever I'm traveling internationally and I need to, for example, move from one gate to another gate, within the TripIt app, it will actually show you a map. And kind of like a Google Maps version of it, it will tell you how to walk there and how long it will take. And especially if you have to take a train to the other side of the airport, it will actually show you how to do that as well. So that is one of my favorite features. And if you go to premium version, then you will get alerts about cancellations or delays about your trip. oftentimes before the gate agent will even announce it, which is kind of cool. So you'll literally sit at the gate, you get a text message or a notification that will say, hey, it seems like your flight is late by 20 minutes. And then a few minutes later, or sometimes half an hour later, the gate agent will say, hey, it seems like your flight is delayed. And I'm like, yeah, I already knew that because TripIt told me. So definitely one of my favorite apps.
Yeah, I like TripIt a lot too. And I also upgraded to the premium. I didn't do it. The free version of TripIt is great. I ended up upgrading to the premium version when they had a sale. And yeah, it is really helpful getting that information. I like how it, if you put in your whole itinerary with hotels and stuff like that too, it'll tell you when you're missing. Maybe you forgot to book a hotel at a certain point. It'll kind of like give you a heads up about that. And the flight notification is really great. Last year we did a family trip to Europe and I had all my flights in TripIt, and it was just a ridiculous itinerary just for a whole variety of regions where we had 9 flights in 14 days just because we had to be a bunch of different places at different times. And TripIt was so great for keeping all that straight. As soon as you land, it tells you which baggage place to go to, and it's just a really great app.
Another great feature that I really like is whenever you have a connecting flight and the app shows you that your flight got delayed, and it will tell you like, hey, there's a big chance that you might be missing your flight. Here's a list of other alternative flights that you can catch. So you come basically prepared to the desk counter agent and say, hey, it seems like I missed my flight, but it seems like the next flight is so-and-so. Could you maybe put me on that flight? Or is there another way I can get to my destination? So you can always come prepared that way. And sometimes you have to fly on another airline, which is kind of unfortunate when that happens. And then airlines have to like work with each other and stuff like that, which is a whole different messy story. But at least you can be prepared knowing that you will get to your destination in some shape or form.
Yep. And TripIt is available on iOS and Android. And by the way, we're listing all these apps. One thing I should have mentioned is we will have links to all these apps in the show notes. So go to theproductivityshow.com/248. That's the show notes for this episode. And everything we talk about will be linked to there. So I'll go on to our number three app. And for me, my number three app is MindNode. So MindNode is a mind mapping app. I talked about it a lot when we did our episode about implementing books, which we did a few weeks ago. And I'll drop the link to the show notes into that one. But MindNode is what I use anytime I'm coming up with ideas, I'm planning something out, I'm kind of keeping track of things. I'm a big mind mapper. And MindNode, which is an iOS app and a Mac app, and they integrate together perfectly with iCloud, is a really nice mind mapping application. Now, unfortunately, it is iOS and Mac only. On Android, a popular one is MindMeister. I know a lot of people really like MindMeister, so that's one to check out. But for me, the one I use is MindNode.
So Brooks, are you mind mapping on your iPhone, iPad, both?
Both. I tend to do it the most on the iPad and the computer. But I definitely, sometimes I'm just trying to think through something and I'm not at one of those devices, I'll do it on my phone. Or as we talked about in that book episode, a lot of times I take notes from books I read in mind map form. And a lot of times I do that on my phone.
Interesting. I can not see myself mind mapping ever on an iPhone.
I can totally understand that, but it's nice to know you're able to do it if you ever need to, or at least see your mind. Even if you don't create mind maps on your phone, it's nice to be able to access them and check them out if you ever need to.
Knowing myself, my mind maps are always really large. And so I can see myself like pinching in, pinching out, pinching in, pinching out, and then like collapsing and then expanding. It sounds more like a fun game than actually consuming information.
Thanks to Grammarly for supporting the Productivity Show. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. They encourage everyone, even the best students and top professionals, to use Grammarly to do their best work and to accomplish even more of their goals. So this podcast episode is all about our favorite apps and tools, and we purposely didn't include Grammarly because we knew we'd get to talk about it here. Grammarly is a writing assistant, and it will make you more productive by avoiding mistakes and rework, but it will also make you look and sound smarter. Not many apps can say that. You can easily show your best self and improve yourself and your communication at school, work, and almost anywhere with Grammarly. This is a tool that fits in perfectly with this mobile apps episode because there's a mobile keyboard checker for iOS and Android. I use the iOS one all the time. On the computer, there's browser extensions for Chrome, Firefox, Safari, or Edge. There's a Mac and Windows desktop editor too. I used the desktop editor this morning right before recording this episode, actually. The free version of Grammarly reviews critical spelling and grammar, but Grammarly Premium will do that plus also check advanced punctuation, structure, style within context, conciseness, vocabulary suggestions, and it will look out for readability in all sorts of different situations like business writing, academic essays, and casual blog posts. A blog post is what I was checking out earlier. You can be more productive and accomplish your goals with help from Grammarly, so stop making email typos on your phone. Close more deals at work this year with your emails. Polish your resume to get that new job. One fun and useful thing Grammarly does is it gives you a weekly insight where you can see how much you've written, how productive you were, and how accurate you are. It also shows you your top three areas for improvement so that you can write better over time. It's all about the Kaizen. Another feature of Grammarly Premium that I like is the vocabulary suggestions. If you use a word that's commonly overused, it gives you suggestions for alternate words that'll make your writing pop. So go to grammarly.com/TPS to get 20% off your Grammarly Premium account today. That's grammarly.com/TPS for 20% off your Grammarly Premium account. Thanks to Blinkist for supporting the Productivity Show. It can be really difficult to find the time to sit down and learn more. There's just so much going on, and often we're tempted to sacrifice growth time. And as an example, we feel like we don't have time to read a book and develop ourselves. I've been there. The Blinkist app helps to solve this problem. You can't create more time, but you can be more efficient with the time that you have. Blinkist is the only app that pulls out the best key takeaways and need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them down so you can read or listen to 15-minute segments. Blinkist is for busy people like you. You want to grow and develop, so with Blinkist, you can get the main points from a book quickly without having to read the entire thing. The best part is you can find books that meet your interest. There's a massive and growing library from a bunch of nonfiction topics, including productivity and time management, self-help, business, health, and history. A popular book right now on Blinkist is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. This is one of those books that you always hear about, but may not have actually read, or if you have read it, it could have been a long, long time ago. Blinkist has the key and important stuff pulled out and ready for you. Speaking of books you always hear about, Blinkist has Mindset by Carol Dweck with a 13-minute reading time. Sometimes it seems like every productivity or time management book out there references Mindset, and now in only 13 minutes you can see or hear why. This is one of the things I like about Blinkist. In less than 15 minutes, I can fast-track my learning and stay on top of the best nonfiction books out there. For a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/TPS to start your 7-day trial. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/TPS to start your 7-day trial. Blinkist.com/TPS.
My number four app is an app called Xero. And yes, it's the number zero, and it's not what you think it is. It's actually about fasting. So maybe 5-6 years ago, I started intermittent fasting. And I recently, in the last 18 months or so, started to introduce a longer fast. So I've been fasting 24 hours, one day out of the week. And I've done a 3-day water fast before, and I've done like a 4-day water fast. And sometimes I'll do like 36-hour fast. So I've been incorporating more fast into my life for various reasons. There's a lot of health benefits related to that for your hormones and for weight loss, and then also for longevity reasons. There's a lot of benefits to fasting. If you listen to the podcast episodes that we did with Scott Rose, then you'll learn more about that episode about like fasting and how it's beneficial for your health, longevity, living longer, looking younger. There's just so many good things about fasting. And one thing I found is that whenever I track my fast, I tend to stick to them more often. And also I will do it more often as well. So I started in maybe end of 2017. I started this app, Xero. And then I just start tracking my daily fast. Sometimes I would fast for 12 hours, sometimes for 16. My goal is always to do a minimum of 16 hours a day and then 24 hours on Sunday. And I noticed as soon as I installed the app and I start just making it a game to track my fasting every single day, I noticed I just did it more often compared to the times when I didn't have this app. So I highly recommend the Zero app. I find it the most friendly app to use, and it will keep you a record book of all the fasts that you've done as well. It will show you a 7-day average. It will show you the longest fast, your shortest fast recently, how long you fasted overall. And it's very graphical. It's really easy to use. And so if you want to start incorporating more fasts and you want to keep track of it, this is by far the best app I've found.
And the nice thing about it is it's a nice design. It's super simple to use. So it makes it very easy to kind of get started and keep going with it. And Zero is available on iOS and Android. All right, I will do my number five app, which, and I didn't mean to make this happen, but somehow Tan's being the one who does all the cross-platform apps, and somehow I'm doing the one who's all the iOS apps. But this is an app that I use all day, every day. Unfortunately, it's iOS and Mac only, but it is called Drafts. And what Drafts is an app that makes it really, really fast and easy to enter and capture text. So if you have a thought, if you have an idea, if you have an action item, you can just quickly fire up Drafts. Those who use Apple Watch, I'm not an Apple Watch person myself, but there's a Drafts available on that as well that people really, really like. But basically, it allows you to quickly capture text and then either keep it in Drafts or more commonly send it somewhere. So capture something quickly, send it to your task manager, send it to your reference storage like Evernote or wherever, create some sort of action that something then happens. You can quickly do all this from Drafts. On Android, Drafts doesn't exist. A lot of people do something similar with, say, Google Keep. That's the one that most people tend to recommend the most. But if you're an iOS user, definitely check out Drafts. And they just recently released the Mac app, but the Drafts on iOS is a really great one.
So number six for me is an app called Deliveries. If you've been following the podcast for a while or you've been reading the newsletters that we have at Asian Efficiency, if you're not subscribed yet, you can go to asianefficiency.com/newsletters. And I always share the story and my lifestyle and how I pretty much never leave my home. Ever since I got my Oura Ring and I can track my steps every single day and how much activity I have on a single day, I pretty much realized I pretty much never leave my home. I'm pretty much a homebody. And therefore, I have pretty much everything I need delivered to my place, whether it's groceries, whether it's Amazon packages, clothing. There's just so much stuff that I order on a day-to-day basis. And I always like to keep track of where everything is at, especially when you have like 5-6 different packages coming in at the same time. I always like to kind of know like where everything is at. Is it delayed? Especially if I'm shipping stuff to other people and I will have a tracking code, I want to know when it's arriving at their place as well, especially when it's going internationally. So I wanted to have an app where I could keep track of all these different things, and Deliveries is the one that I came to. And it's available on iOS and Mac and on the Apple Watch as well. And I believe there's an Android app as well, but created by somebody else. But the reason I love this particular app is that because it has a web interface. So this is really useful working with my executive assistant because she will sometimes order packages on my behalf. And then it will get sent to her email address with all the details and such, and she will get the tracking code. And then what she can do is instead of me sharing my iCloud information with her, because I don't necessarily want her to have access to my iCloud, because then she can read my text messages, she can access my email and stuff, which she already has access to, but iCloud is, you know, a different email account for more private stuff. So I needed to have an app where it will have like a separate sync service and web interface. So Deliveries does live up to that. And then she can basically go in there and then enter the tracking number of anything that she ordered. And then I will basically have it in my app as well. So then I will get notified when packages arrive by stuff that she ordered. So I find it really useful. And I can see if you're living, you know, in a household where you have different family members and you're all wanted to have like one tracking area, this is the app I would recommend.
Yeah, Deliveries is an app that I resisted for a long time. Lots of people recommended it, and I was like, oh, you know, how hard is it to keep track of packages? But eventually, I bought it on iOS, and then I ended up buying it again on the Mac, I think. And it's just a great app. One thing I really like about it is how it has integrations to really easily get from emails or texts or whatever to get those tracking numbers in and then have it available, like you said, on all your devices. And yeah, deliveries, once you get used to using it, it's just such a great experience. And you're right, it is an iOS and Mac app only, but there is a similar app by a totally different developer on Android also called Deliveries. And there's a link to that in the show notes that seems to be pretty similar, and it gets really, really high ratings in the Google Play Store. All right, so moving on to app number 7. My app for that is called Calm, and Calm is a meditation app. It's available on iOS and Android. We talked about it quite a bit in the episode that we did called Meditation for the Rest of Us, which is TPS 210. We talked about the Calm app quite a bit. Since that episode, at the time of recording that episode, I just used the free version, so just the free timed meditations. But since then, I have upgraded to the premium version. And one thing, and I also, my wife uses it as well. And it's great. They have these guided meditations. They have different things for different topics. I don't use most of those. One thing that I never thought I would use, but just before recording this podcast, I was talking to a Dojo member about how I use this, is something called sleep stories. So they've added these stories that are, I don't know how to describe it, but they're basically read in a way that they expect you to use it to help you fall asleep. And I was like, I don't really need that. I sleep pretty easily. But a while ago, I was on vacation. I was having really bad trouble sleeping, and I started trying it out. And man, some of these, they're just read in a way that there's one about taking a train in Wales that just knocks me out every single time. And there's all these different ones. I'm a big fan, a recent convert to Calm sleep stories. So if you're having trouble sleeping, give that a try. But yeah, Calm is a great meditation app. Even if you don't use it for the sleeping part, Calm is a great meditation app on iOS and Android.
This is an app I use as well. I mostly use it for the daily Calm, so the daily meditation track that they release on the app. And we were thinking of creating something very similar to Asian Efficiency. And so it really started off as a competitive research project where we were just looking at different meditation apps and kind of seeing how they used it. And then as I was starting to use Calm, I realized, oh, this is actually a really great app just to meditate every single day and kind of like use music and tracks and intentions to kind of reset your day and think about stuff. And then I started just using it on a daily basis, and I actually really like it. So I still use it today, I would say 4 or 5 times out of the week. So not every single day. But if I'm skipping it as part of my morning ritual, for example, I will usually do it in the afternoon because I just find it so useful to kind of reset myself whenever I listen to a track. And I don't really have trouble like falling asleep, but it's good to know that the sleep stories helps you, Brooks. I also learned that LeBron James actually likes this particular app, and he mentions he uses it whenever he's like preparing for a game. And like he mentioned one of the tracks he uses, like Rainwater or something, he will just listen to some rainwater dropping to kind of like zone in on stuff. So it's really cool that he uses that as well.
So the lesson being, if you use Calm, you'll be able to play basketball like LeBron James. That's what you're saying, right?
Yes. And you wear his shoes, then you'll be just as tall as him too. Yep.
Exactly. All right, go ahead for your number 8 app, Dan.
So this is Scambot. This is a iOS app, and the purpose of this app is basically using scans on your phones and turning them into PDFs or whatever format you want to have your photos taken in. So I use this app all the time to scan documents that I have like here in my place, and then I want to then usually convert it into a PDF or stored in Dropbox. And what's cool about Scambot is that once you take the picture, you can actually create custom workflows after the picture is taken. So for example, what really sold me on this compared to the other scan apps that are out there, like Scanner Pro, which is the one I use for the longest time, but Scambot has this workflow situation where you could say, hey, as soon as the scan is done, name this file YYYYMMDD, and then like some other variable, and then stored in this specific Dropbox folder. And so what's cool about this is then you can, you know, scan the document. It will automatically pull in, you know, the year, the month, and the date, and we'll name it that way. And then you can type in whatever else you want right after that. And then after that is done, it will then automatically upload it into a specific Dropbox folder. So if you've been listening to our automation episodes a few weeks back, then you know that you can use Hazel as well. And so what's cool about it is that if a specific naming convention is used whenever I'm creating a scan with ScanBot and it gets uploaded into a specific Dropbox folder, usually then Hazel gets triggered and then it will just manipulate the file or move that file around. So for example, if I'm scanning a receipt, I will name it a certain way. Right, so it will have like YYYYMMDD and then like the name of like, for example, the company. And then Hazel will detect, oh, it's the name of that company. Let's move it into this specific receipts folder once it lands into the Dropbox folder. So you can create these really custom workflows. And so that's why I really like this app, because you can set that up when you first use it. And you don't have to use it. You can literally scan it and just put it on your phone. But if you use the workflow feature, you can do some amazing things combined with something like Hazel.
Yeah, we talked a lot about file automation and different types of technology automation in TPS 242. So definitely check that episode out. But this is a great example of how even if the computer is doing a lot of the automation, you can start it off in the right way using an app like ScanBot, which I love it. It's a great app as well. Phil from the Dojo also mentioned that one as one of his favorites. So that's a good choice. And that is available on iOS and Android as well. All right, I will do my final pick, which is number 9, which is Overdrive. So Overdrive is an app that is available. And what it allows you to do is, it's a reading app, but one great feature that it has is it integrates with a bunch of different libraries. So chances are your local library may be able to work with it as well. I know multiple libraries here where I live do. And basically what it lets you to do is it lets you check out ebooks using the Overdrive app. And it's kind of like the Kindle app, but it integrates with your library. So if you want to read a book, but you don't want to buy it, you can read the ebook version in Overdrive. And it also works with audiobooks as well. So if you want to listen to audiobooks, but you don't necessarily want to have an Audible subscription, or you don't want to use up one of your credits for a certain book, you can do it from the Overdrive app. So if you want to make use of your local library, check out the Overdrive app.
So what you're saying is that I basically don't have to leave my place ever again if I want to borrow a book or an audiobook from my local library. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I was reading the other day that the Austin Public Library is rated one of the best, I think the best in the country. So it may be worth going to check out your particular library. But in general, yes, you can get the benefits of the library without, again, having to leave your house.
Yes, it is pretty nice. I've been there a few times. And the next time you're in Austin, I would love to show it to you as well, because it's beautiful. It's amazing. Great food there as well, which is kind of interesting for a library. But yeah, definitely one of the best in town, if not the country. So thank you for sharing that. I actually never heard about that particular app, so I'm excited to check that out as well. All right, so number 10, my last pick, and that is, drum rolls, 1Password. So if you listened to last week's episode, you probably already knew that this was going to be my final pick, because I freaking love this app. It saves me so much time when it comes to logging into websites, securing information in a safe place. It's available on iOS and Android, and also on the desktop as well. And this is just one of those apps that, you know, whenever you get a new phone, this is one of the first apps I will always install. And when I use somebody else's phone and I try to log in somewhere, I always go, wait, why don't you have the share sheet function? Like, why can't I just like Face ID right now and log in? Oh, wait, you don't have 1Password. This doesn't make any sense. Please go install it right now. It will save so much time and you will thank me later. So if you don't have this app installed yet, go check it out right now. It's just such a huge time saver, because you just have to memorize 1Password. And once you've entered it in and you have Face ID on your iPhone, then you don't even have to memorize that password again. It will just use your Face ID to log in, and then you can log into websites with just your Face ID. Just think about that for a second, how much time that's going to save you.
Yeah, as we talked about last week, I love 1Password as well. 1Password is I think of it as an iOS app, but it is available on Android as well. I actually didn't know that, but it is available on Android as well. From the iOS side of things, I've always used 1Password as long as I can remember on the iPhone. But really what made that even more awesome is, I think, is it iOS 12, I think it was, where they allowed the integration with 1Password into the actual password field. So you don't even have to go into the 1Password app and copy the password like you used to have to. It's right there. You can use your, you can access your 1Password passwords, and it makes it so much easier. So yeah, this is great shout. I'm glad you mentioned it again, because having a password manager these days is really, really important. All right, so I'm just going to round up our top 10 apps that we recommended. So we recommended Spark, the email app, TripIt for managing your trips, MindNode for mind mapping, Xero for intermittent fasting, Drafts for quick text capture, Deliveries for package management, Calm for meditation, ScanBot for capturing documents, Overdrive for reading through your library, and 1Password for managing your password. So those are 10 great apps that you can implement and be more productive. We did have a bunch of apps mentioned from members of the Dojo, so I want to make sure to mention those as well. So Dojo member Chap is obviously working on his fitness, because he recommended FitBod for workouts and iSmoothRun for tracking running. Also BrainFM, brain.fm for background focus music, which I know is really popular in the Dojo, and IA Writer, which is a great minimalist writing app. Tammy mentioned AnyList, which gets mentioned a lot in the Dojo, so I was glad somebody did, which is a grocery list app, but you can share it amongst members of the family. Really, really popular one. Phil mentioned Notability, which is great for working with and marking up PDFs and other documents. PDF Expert, which is a great PDF management app. YNAB, which we've talked about for budgeting. MyFitnessPal for recording food and exercise. Voice Recorder HD, which he says he likes way better than the voice memo that's built into iOS. And Sudoku Plus for doing Sudoku. And also, Rob recommended Headspace, and he was asking if Headspace is better than Calm or vice versa. They're both really great. I like Headspace a lot too. Calm is just what I ended up going with. But if you're looking to get into meditation, Headspace is a great meditation app. To wrap this up, these type of episodes can be hard, because we throw a whole bunch of different apps at you, and you can be like, "Ah, I don't know where to start," or you might start implementing a bunch of them and get distracted. It can be really easy to get distracted with these type of episodes. So what we would recommend, if there's one app in particular that spoke to you that you thought you could get a lot of value out of right away, don't worry about the rest of them. Just implement that one app. Give it a try, learn it, and then sure, you can look at the next one that you also think will be helpful. Don't switch from an app that you like just because there's one we like better. Make sure it's something that you can actually get a lot of benefit out of. And next week, we are going to be wrapping up this series of our favorite things. Last week, we did our favorite computer apps. Today, we did our favorite mobile apps. And next week, we're going to be doing our favorite physical devices and tools. So watch out for that one. And thank you very much. At Asian Efficiency, we believe that you shouldn't have to sacrifice your personal life to get things done. You should be able to get everything done in the time that you have. That's why we've built a productivity quiz to help you maximize the time that you have, increase your energy, and get you more focused. We've helped tens of thousands of people increase their productivity, and within 2 minutes of taking the productivity quiz, we'll show you exactly what you need to do next to increase your productivity. To take the quiz, just go to theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Again, that URL is theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Find out where your biggest areas of productivity friction are so you can take action. Take the quiz today and you'll be on your way to becoming superhuman productive. You can also find links to everything we discussed today in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/248. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us an iTunes review or a star in Overcast. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next Productive Monday.